Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Me and Mark Grody both do. That's why we're going to talk to him right now. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show, taking you into your weekend. We got 1 hour left of this radio show. And then, ladies and gentlemen. But Chris Emma is here. This segment with him is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. And it is also brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric for all the right reasons. Call 866-Four Seasons. Sometimes Chris Emma is doing updates on WBBM, our sister station, and he walked on down the hall to join us for this Bears report. What do you say, Chris?
What's up, boys? How we doing? Happy Friday.
Doing well, man. Hey, keep it tight over there. Traffic and weather together. Very, very important, man. You got to get out. Get out on the 8.
I'm just here. This is the pregame show for Neil every 16 and 46 in the hour. I'm just getting ready for Neil.
Do you feel good about this game against the Vikings? I don't know if you heard. I am picking the Bears to beat the Vikings. I mean, you can reveal your pick here if you want or not, but how do you feel about this game?
I hate this matchup for the Bears on offense. Look, it's the pressure the Vikings are going to get. Just to lay it out for you, the Vikings are first in the league with pressure rate, third in the league in sacks. Caleb Williams is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. And this is an offensive line. I know it's had a lot of issues with injuries and really getting that consistency part down. I just hate this matchup of the pressure Brian Flores is going to put against Caleb Williams and the Bears. So I'm on the Vikings 23-16. I think it's a good football game. I think it's going to be entertaining. I think you'll see some of the spirit that we saw last week where this team comes out to fight, but it won't be enough.
Well, let's talk about that spirit before we get back to the ball game itself. It seems to me, and you guys would know being around the team this week as you have, it seems like all these players on the offense are like very invested in things going well now, because this move, Thomas Brown for Shane Waldron, is one that they have wanted. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. Absolutely. Look, I mean, we knew ever since really that game against the Colts is where we really started learning about the way that the leaders on this team were going to the coaches, going to Shane Waldron, to Matt Eberflus, and saying, we need this to be better. Well, we need this to be streamlined to the players. We need this offense to fit the talent. We need a different play calling style, really, is what you were hearing from guys like Mercedes Lewis and Keenan Allen and the leaders on that team, that leadership council we keep hearing about. They had multiple meetings since, and it clearly did not resonate from that really bad loss to the Colts game. I think they should have won down in Indy, and it never really picked up from there. That got Shane Waldron removed. And we've heard now, too, and we've heard from players talking about they wanted some kind of change offensively. They didn't say, we need to fire Shane Waldron, but they said something needs to change because they were checked out on this. They're invested with Thomas Brown. You're absolutely right, Speaks. They believe in this guy. He set them up for success in a way that they weren't having with Shane Waldron. Now it's about getting those results.
So one more thing on Thomas Brown and on Shane Waldron going backwards. He talked this week about how an offensive unit or a defensive unit can take on the personality of its coordinator. And I loved that. And I feel like the Bears offense took on the personality of Shane Waldron during his time here. What do you guys make of that?
It needed to change. It just, I don't know if they took it on as much as just,
I think they fought it. They fought it from day one.
There was
one,
such a clear disconnect.
Because I was thinking, like, the sloppiness of it.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But I think
the chaos of it.
But I think at the same time, after the game is over, they're going home thinking, what the hell's with this offensive coordinator? And there were guys that were not so subtle and actually pretty direct about things they didn't like about the offensive coordinator.
And we heard from Caleb Williams Williams early in the year talking about, I need to get on the same page with Shane Waldron and really establish that dynamic. And consider that from Caleb Seiber, he only really knew Lincoln Riley in the college game. From Oklahoma to USC, they had such a great dynamic. They still talk constantly to this day. There was a trust there, and there was never really a trust between Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron. You hear the expression often in football, players, not plays. And that's not the way that Shane Waldron operated. It was plays, not players for him. It was about, I'm going to make this play work, and you got to fit this, and we're going to do it differently. It's not that way with Thomas Brown. It's players, not plays. It's about fitting that style. Players embrace that. They love that stuff. They're bought into this guy right now. You can really feel it.
I hope that continues, because we have heard different versions of that from other offensive coordinators that the Bears have had. Hey, we're going to do what's best for the talent on this team, and then somehow it fades away. So here's to hoping Thomas Brown is different. Do you remember a head coach, Chris Emma, for the, I believe he was, he did some NFL work, but he was actually a head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at one point in time. His name was Charlie Weiss. Do you remember one of Charlie Weiss's most famous quotations going into that job? You know the quote I'm going to say here, right?
Let's hear it.
That it is,
schematic advantage?
Yes, a decided schematic advantage.
Sorry, I wanted to prove my smartness.
That was great. That was beautiful. Your smartness was spot on.
I was very excited.
Yeah, you were. I thought Emma would jump it, but you got it. It would appear.
Emma didn't know it. You heard it here first. He did not know it.
I'd have to see the replay.
I tried to tune out the entire Charlie Weiss era, so forgive me on that one. Same with the Brian Kelly era. We're locked in on Marcus Freeman here, but go on.
I was pretty excited for Notre Dame with the guy. I believed in the decided schematic advantage, but it didn't happen. It would appear, though, I'm going all this way, Chris, that it would appear.
This is a long way.
God, I hope this is worth it for everybody.
No chance. No chance.
I'm already
good luck, Mark.
Preemptively apologizing
Brian
already.
Flores has a decided schematic advantage.
No, wrong, oh, wrong, wrong.
I'll let you go. Go ahead. Sorry.
Kevin O'Connell.
Oh, I see. Kevin O'Connell
has a decided schematic advantage over Matt Eberflus. And I know you wrote a little bit about the prowess of Kevin O'Connell. You got that, Speaks?
I thought he nailed it, Chris. What are your thoughts?
So anyway, does he have a decided schematic advantage?
I'm sorry, what were you saying? No, I should point out, first of all, Shane Waldron actually was a GA under Charlie Weiss in Notre Dame. So that's another story.
Recovering a little bit. You're making up ground for not knowing the quote. Okay. All right.
Look, Kevin O'Connell is one of the best coaches in the NFL. I don't think he gets talked about nearly enough or gets the kind of respect he deserves. Like, he has been terrific for that team. And I wrote about it in my Thursday column, 670thescore.com. You can check it out, about the difference between these two teams. And I want to preface this now from the perspective of Ryan Poles, because in January of 22, he had an offer from the Bears and he had a chance to fly to Minnesota and likely get an offer from the Vikings. He had a chance to pick between two division rivals. He believed the Bears were the better opportunity for him as a general manager. He saw the chance, rebuild this roster, start over, and have his pick of a head coach, and take the time it needs to be successful. He's now in year three right now, and this thing is supposed to be flourishing, supposed to be on the cusp of playoff bursts and sustained success, and everything we were promised here in Chicago, that's just not been delivered. Look at the other side of Minnesota now. Kevin O'Connell led them to 13-4 in his first season. They won the NFC North. They dominated one-score games, 11 one-score wins during that tenure. Matt Eberflus's tenure now in year three has been underscored by struggles in one-score games. He has by far the worst record of any coach in the NFL in one-score games, 5-17. The best coach in one-score games, Kevin O'Connell. That is the coaching difference right now. Ryan Poles was able to lay his plan, as Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was in Minnesota, but the difference comes down to coaching, and the Bears have been let down by their head coach.
Man, Kevin O'Connell's lifetime winning percentage is .622. And when you sort by active head coach's winning percentage, he's on top of John Harbaugh, of Sean Payton. He's on top of Sean McVay. He's on top of Mike McCarthy and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, it's a very small sample, as you say, and that 13-4 looked like kind of a myth that year. But 8-2 with this bunch is pretty freaking remarkable.
Everybody wrote off Sam Darnold. Nobody was thinking about this guy being a starter. It seemed like a joke when the Vikings went out and got him. But Kevin O'Connell can coach. And give Sam Darnold his flowers, too. He's been terrific. He's had this kind of comeback that I don't think anybody really saw coming. That is a perfect match of head coach and quarterback having that kind of success that it speaks volumes. 8-2 right now, the ability to win those one-score games. As we talked about that Brian Flores-led defense, they are top five in most categories in the NFL. That is a terrific bunch. they're going to get after Caleb Williams. It's going to be a really tough game for the Bears and their protection unit, and I don't like this matchup for the Bears.
Just for those who are playing at home, Matt Eberflus's winning percentage after 44 games is .318. He's ahead of only Dave Canales, Gerard Mayo, Brian Callahan, and Jeff Ulbrich. Those are all rookie coaches. There is no one who has coached more than a season with a worse winning percentage than Matt Eberflus.
And on the Bears leaderboard, he's only ahead of John Fox and Abe Gibron right now.
He's gone, guys.
Yeah.
I think he's dead man walking. I heard Brad Biggs talking about it this morning, and we've talked about it before. This organization believes that when you fire a head coach midseason, you are screaming dysfunction. You are signifying dysfunction. And I understand that it does that. And now to this point, like crying for Matt Eberflus to be fired at this point, you're shouting into a well at this point because the season is this far along. They could have maybe done it early and tried to light a fire, but at this point, he's going to coach out the season and then be toast. Do you guys agree or not?
No, I agree, and I think in part it's unfair. I don't need to see Matt Eberflus gets axed in the middle of the season, but I think in the bigger picture, Kevin Warren comes into the Bears with the promise of doing things differently. Ryan Poles comes to the Bears, sits down with Caleb Williams and his father and says, we're going to do this isn't the old Bears. We do things differently. So in the general whole scope of things, it's a shame that they won't do things differently. They're not going to do things that differently. They're still going to stick to some of those things. So, I don't need it. I don't need the Bears to do it, but a lot of fans do, and it would open up so much goodwill, I think, between organization and the fan base if they were to do something dramatic and different and make you think that they're going in a different direction. So that's what I'd say. But, yeah, I mean, barring some miraculous run here, and it would be miraculous considering the strength of schedule the rest of the way, Matt Eberflus is probably going to be out of a job at the end of the season.
Yeah, we kind of went into this year thinking it was unclear what it would take for Matt Eberflus to be retained for a fourth season. Certainly playoffs would be no doubt he's back. Some sort of progress. Building off 7-10 last year and a step forward to, you know, 8 or 9 wins you could have justified. And certainly even if you just fall short of the playoffs, there's been so much dysfunction once again for this Bears team where it's so hard to justify keeping him around for a fourth year. As for this year, look, we know the Bears' philosophy has been never to fire a coach in the season. They also never fired a coordinator during the season.
Correct.
Up until last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ruling anything out at this point, guys. I think if there's another level of dysfunction coming, if there's another wave of chaos at Hallis Hall, who's to say they don't fire him and make that move?
Maybe, but man, I think it took everything in their systems to do what they did with Shane Waldron. Like, I think the reason it took so long is Matt Eberflus didn't want to fire this guy.
Yeah.
And it probably went against, like, I doubt the McCaskies wanted it. I don't know where Kevin Warren stood on it, but I think it took a lot of stress and conversations to just do that much. So I disagree with the who knows factor. Like, Flus is not getting fired during this season.
The other thing to consider here, guys, is Ryan Poles' position. I think he's safe. I've not heard anything that suggests that he's on the hot seat right now. Think back to 2017 at the end of that run for John Fox when Ryan Pace was trying to ultimately distance himself from his head coach and set himself up for job security, for a chance at seeing this thing forward and positioning himself to hire that next head coach. And he got a contract extension the day that John Fox was fired, and it kind of raised some eyebrows, but it speaks to the way they've operated at Hallis Hall, where a lot of times the general manager gets the benefit of the doubt in a way the head coach won't. I think you're looking at a similar situation now with Ryan Poles, where he sees his plan that's had so many details of rebuilding and seeing this thing through and the fortunes with the number one pick. It's all gone to hell on these guys right now. It's not gone the way that they had hoped with this kind of breakthrough season. Ryan Poles knows this team's not being coached for success right now. I think he's in his heart of hearts thinking about who's my next coach going to be.
Right.
That buys him job security.
Yeah,
he hires that next guy. He's got a chance to really build this thing forward with a fresh start.
Yeah, it's a great point about Pace getting the extension the day that Fox was fired. But now that Warren is here, as Dan Pompey has mentioned, it does change the mix historically.
Yeah.
Because you're right, their top football guy was Ryan Pace. I remember that day of those press conferences and so many people saying, how about a football president? How about a football czar? Something like that. Like, Ryan Pace is our top football guy. So they've been saying that Do they still say that about Ryan Poles, or is Kevin Warren considered their top football guy now? And I say this as a guy who screamed for that and wanted that, but now has some cold feet about Kevin Warren making decisions.
My understanding is that Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are really well connected. There's a lot of trust there. I don't see Kevin Warren removing Ryan Poles from this spot and starting over with his own guy. I think his mindset is Ryan Poles is my guy, and they're pleased with the work he's done in this front office to rebuild this roster and set this thing up for what they hope was lasting success. I think they're plenty comfortable when, at the end of the season, if and when you miss the playoffs, saying we need the right head coach to see this thing forward. I do think that change is coming.
As long as we're on the topic, I still have my doubts that they would hire a strong head coach, a powerful person as head coach, a big personality. And I think that's what they desperately need. And so Mike Vrabel comes to mind, you know, some of these and people like that. I still have my doubts that they would hire that kind of personality.
They don't do it. I've said it a million times on this radio station for years that since Mike Ditka and maybe even justifiably the trauma that they went through with Ditka being there, like Ditka was like the anti McCaskey and back. So since then. Everybody that the Bears have hired, except for John Fox, has been inexperienced, but they've all been gentlemen, too. And then you start with Dave Wonsted, who was the hot coordinator. That's the difference with Wani. Wani was...
Whoa.
Yeah, no. It's different with you, Dave, because Dave was desired by a lot of teams that he could have gone to the Giants, and he was the hot prospect defensive coordinator.
A gentleman is a great way to put it, because Lovie Smith was a strong person.
Yeah.
But boy, was
gentleman.
He a gentleman.
And so respectful of authority. All of that. Same thing with Mark Trestman. He was exactly the same way. Dick Geron!
No, it's probably worth a history lesson at some point about what went down, because Michael McCaskey was embarrassed.
And
had to be kicked upstairs.
Exactly.
And the whole family was embarrassed.
And I get it. Like, I understand some of that. Ditka had to have been a really difficult personality to deal with if you are the bosses. And all the fans took Ditka's side, obviously, and not ownership. But that is real thing, that they have hired coaches that are going to be pleasant and obedient and controllable and all of that, which is also part of why that they took so long to get a football czar. And I'll say this really quickly, Chris, and I want to hear what you have to say. I don't think Kevin Warren is in on the football stuff. I don't think he has enough time to know what's on the football side, other than maybe saying, bring me a body, bring me Luke Getsy. You know, things like that from last year. Maybe he had something to do with somebody's got to lose their job this year. I don't know, but I don't think that there's any fear of Kevin Warren stepping in, you know, nudge, do this. And if he did, to me, it would be a big mistake.
I do think if and when a change comes at Hallis Hall this offseason, it'll be something led by Ryan Poles with the blessing of Kevin Warren and George McCaskey. Think back to the last time they went through this at the end of the lost 21 season. They had Bill Pulley in as an advisor by December and seeing through this roster and preparing for that change. They had Ernie Corsi years before.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a joke the way they've had to handle this by outsourcing for football people. Like, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Kevin Warren changes that. You got somebody, you don't need to hire Ernie Corsi or Bill Pullen. You've got somebody who can oversee and help your general manager forward while empowering him to lead this thing forward. I love Mike Vrabel. I think he's terrific. But I want an offensive-minded coach who can be that caddy for Caleb Williams, who can be that guy who helps him forward the rest of the way. I want Caleb to have his Lincoln Riley. Maybe it is Lincoln Riley.
Yeah,
who knows?
I
want him to have somebody he connects with to have that head coach quarterback dynamic.
No likey speaks. What's going on over there?
I have my concerns about Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I think
Trace Armstrong likes him though.
Okay, that's all that's important.
Okay, yeah, I want it to be that offensive mind. I'm so done with the defensive minded coaching thing when you're in your third OC. You're three with this head coach. You're one with this rookie quarterback.
What his about second Nagy? OC, just, Nagy was an offensive guy.
Get the right offensive guy. Get this thing right
the
for
thing.
Once.
See, you got to have that personality,
you're
man.
You're set up for success. Like, this is your chance. Get that guy in there. If it gets to that point, you got a great opportunity for lasting success.
Chris Emma, you're the goods. Any other nuggets or tidbits that you think we ought to be talking about or knowing about in terms of the Bears beat this week?
Bears.
I think we got it covered.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. That's Chris Emma. He was really good. It's thanks for being here, buddy. Appreciate you. He will go back down the hall to do BBM. Mark Grody is over there. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We got hot JJ on JJ action with one of the best matchups of this football season on Sunday. Hear from them both next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Nothing but respect for, we have some phenomenal receivers in our league. We do. But I just hope people understand exactly what he plays against on a week in and week out basis. I promise you folks, it's not coach speak. Yep. It's real. It's, you know, head down to, if you play pickup basketball, head down to the gym and have three out of the five guys on the court cover you and leave. Mm. You know, that's basically what people attempt to do every single week, find new ways to do it. And Justin doesn't blink. We figure out ways and we work through it together. And he makes play after play for us when we need it.
Kevin O'Connell talking about Justin Jefferson. So much Prince has been a nice sidelight of Vikings week. Spiegs and Grody on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Justin Jefferson hopefully will be covered by Jalen Johnson a lot. I wonder if Jalen will move at all side to side. If there's ever a week to do it, this would be the week. But either way, Jalen Johnson was in the locker room this week talking with our guy Mark Grody about finally getting a chance to face Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, he's one of the most consistent guys in the league, for sure. So he's been doing it at a high level since he came in the league. So, I mean, he's definitely one of those guys.
Where is Justin Jefferson? Is he, like, top of your list of toughest guys to cover? Like, where does he rank?
I haven't covered him in a few years, so I don't know.
Okay.
I'll see. I mean, I'd still like him as the number one receiver, but as far as tough to cover, I haven't covered him in a few years, so I'll see.
So he hasn't covered him in a couple years.
The Bears did not face Justin Jefferson last year. And, they just keep missing each other, whether he was injured or Jefferson was hurt. So I did not, when I was talking to him there, with other reporters, by the way, I had forgotten that it's been a couple seasons.
You, Mark Grody, recommended that we, Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins,
yes,
talk to Jalen Johnson. And when we started talking with him in 2022, he was already licking his chops about Justin Jefferson. This is from that year.
I would say his versatility and being able to move inside, outside. He can play the slot real well. And now that they have the new offensive coordinator, they put him in a slot to run option routes. They put him on the outside, run a lot of over routes, some double moves, and things like that on the outside. And even give him some jet sweeps. I mean, we've seen him. He scored one last week or this past weekend on jet sweeps. So just them being able to put him in a lot of different positions really just set him up for success. So I feel like limiting his production is going to be tough on the whole defense because everybody's going to have to face him. Everybody's going to have to account for him. And they have a good running game. So it's not too much. You can't just sit there and go too high and double team him and things like that because you'll have a light box. So, I mean, at some point, you got to win your matchups. Everybody has to play a part in defending him, defending the run game. But, I mean, he's a talented player. He's been very good since LSU. So, I mean, he has a lot of good natural gifts, and he's only getting better.
at some point, you have to win your one-on-one battles. That's what rung to me. Now, I'd love to see Jalen Johnson on him, and I think, obviously, Jalen would love that as well. But this is where, you know, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday in my Bears report, Speaks. You know, you've got Tyreek Stevenson and Terrell Smith, and Eric Washington sharing with us that, you know, Terrell Smith's strength is that he is a really good one-on-one coverage guy. Not that Tyreek Stevenson isn't, but he distinguished the two by saying that Stevenson a little bit more physical, but it's a monumental task for whomever is the primary guy on him on Sunday.
I thought that Eric Washington stuff was great that you asked about Terrell Smith as a man-to-man guy. I wonder if we'll see more of that just in the off chance that he ends up on Justin Jefferson. All right, quick game of categories. You guys ready?
Ooh.
Quick game.
Ready?
Justin Jefferson is the 20th among all active players in the NFL with receiving yards at 6,811 yards. This list includes all positions, wide receivers and tight ends. Who has more receiving yards among active players in the NFL than Justin Jefferson? Whoever wants to go first?
Davante Adams.
Davante Adams is number 4.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Number 1 on the list.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God.
Anybody in the NFL?
Been around a while. I'm completely blanking. I knew this would happen.
Go with NFL players.
Talking about just NFL.
Just NFL players.
Is there a bear on this list?
There is.
There's
one bear on this list.
For crying out loud, Keenan Allen.
Number five among active players.
That's his high school nickname for crying out loud. Keenan Allen. Good job, Grody, for the extra point there.
So we've got DeAndre, Devontae, and Keenan so far.
Mike Evans.
Number 2 on the list at 12,000 yards and change.
Stephon Diggs,
number 7 on the list.
Wideouts
or tight ends.
Or
famous tight ends. Famous people.
Oh, stop it. Shut up. What are you doing, Matthew?
Grody. I feel bad for Grody.
Matthew.
He's freezing. It happens.
Yeah, in all fairness, no one knew we were doing categories today.
Yeah.
So we're all a little.
I mean, that's normally how we do categories.
I've only gotten a couple names because we've done this list on the show before. I did horribly.
Whatever. It's for the listeners, all right, Teddy?
All right, you gave me Kelsey.
Travis Kelsey.
But you're right. I'm completely freezing up.
It happens. Yes. It used to happen to me, not anymore, since I saw my doctor. Tanny, what do you got? Anybody?
FUE.
Is there another tight end on there? George Kittle?
George Kittle, yes! George Kittle is number 19, just above Justin Jefferson. Shane?
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, number 15 on the list.
I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp.
He's number 15. Hey, there's another bear on this list. How about this?
Another bear?
Yeah.
Current bear?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Not DJ Moore.
7,025 yards for DJ Moore.
Look at that. I got DJ Moore. How about that?
Anybody else? Tanny, got any more?
Want to do Cooper Kupp again?
One of his former teammates, Adam Thielen, on the list?
Adam Thielen is on the list.
Good.
Number 14. Very nice. 7,800 yards.
Chris Godwin.
Number 16 on the list. Look at these guys.
Yeah, you guys just keep going. I'm out.
Again, we've done this before. Yeah. You know,
We've done the listeners, I'm so smart enough already with me being smart.
All right, Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper, Yeah, that's right. Brandon Cooks, Tyler Lockett.
I feel like if you keep getting arrested, you should be taken off the list. Tyreek Hill should not be on the list.
Robert Woods is on the list.
Zach Ertz.
Allen Robinson, ladies and gentlemen. Where's Allen Robinson?
I almost said Allen Robinson.
He's still playing somewhere.
He is.
Where is he?
I thought he got caught.
Was he a Raider? No, I remember seeing him on a national game at some point this season.
Detroit. He's on the Lions.
He was back home, yes.
Yeah. He's a backup on Detroit. Yes, and you're right, his hometown. All right, there we go. I'm glad we did that. So,
me too.
I know you are, Mark.
He's had 5 targets all year, has Allen Robinson.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out that downfall. That was a fast downfall with Allen Robinson.
When you get old as a wideout, it goes fast.
Right. Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky's like security blanket, that's a bad spot.
Yeah. He and Trubisky were great together. It was Justin Fields where things just crumbled.
Dan Campbell this week on Allen Robinson, quote, "He's something else. He really is. He's got the hunger of a rookie. It's impressive. For a guy that's played as much as he's played, had skins on the wall, made a lot of money, he's ready to go. Ready to go at the drop of a hat." Dan Campbell on Allen Robinson. Aren't you glad we're doing this at 5:36? I am too. Justin Jefferson was talking about how he thinks the Bears will game plan against him.
Yeah, we definitely expect him to play a little bit of, you know, a little bit of too high, a little help over the top. But, you know, we think that they'll get, you know, a couple single safety looks. And, you know, so, you know, hopefully we'll get man. We see that every week. But, you know, just teams just, you know, just have different tendencies on film. And then when we go out on the field, then they play us, you know, totally different. So we expect, you know, a couple different coverages. But for the most part, we feel like they're going to, you know, try to match of what everybody else has been playing.
Johnson has, I think, talked this week about how excited he is to face you because you guys have missed each other because of injuries a couple times. What have your thoughts been on him and just facing him if you see him one-on-one this week?
Yeah, he's a good corner. He's definitely a guy that, you know, you got to bring your game against, you know. But, you know, just like you said, we haven't really had a chance to really see go up against each other since, I think, my second year, his rookie year. So, you know, it'll be good to go up against him. But I'm really not, you know, too focused on that. More focused on about, you know, just our play offensively. You know, there hasn't been a game where we just came together as a whole offensively. So, you know, every week we're just trying to inch our way closer to that perfection. I don't really feel like no one else has been playing, been getting played like how I've been getting played. So, I mean, it's just really just looking at the film and just seeing, you know, just different positions and different concepts that I can do to get me open and to try to get me on a one-on-one matchup. But, you know, it's difficult. You know, it's tough, and not a lot of people see it, you know, unless you see it on film. But, you know, that just, you know, leaves room for my other teammates to get open and to make plays downfield. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's just something that I have to deal with every single week. But that's never an excuse that I will use. I always will try to, you know, make plays and you know, of course, get over that 100-yard marker.
I don't think that Justin Jefferson regards Jalen Johnson in quite the hallowed ways that Jalen Johnson regards Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I was just looking through, you know, as he said, that he's had to overcome the way he is being defended out there. I'm just looking through his game log. He's had games of 137. That was against Indianapolis. 115 against L.A., 133 against San Francisco, coming off a 81-yard game against Tennessee. He is averaging 15.5 yards per catch. He's at 912, so you know he'll be extra motivated to get to 1,000 this week. And it doesn't help matters for the Bears this week that Elijah Hicks, they're down to their third safety. Elijah Hicks out for this game for the Bears. So you could be looking at Jonathan Owens, or do they activate Adrian Colbert on game day as well? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's not helping the case either. But look, he's outstanding, and I hate to say it, but he's a fun guy to watch too.
Yeah. Incredible wide receiver to watch. It is 670 The Score. He is Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. We have one more segment to go. Four times a week, it is Appointment Radio in the mornings. This morning, surprisingly feisty. You'll hear it next before we get out of here at 6 on the screen.
And that's what my mom got at the house. At my mama's house is Black Jesus, my dad, grandma, me at graduation, and Rod Stewart. She loves Rod Stewart.
TimberTech Decking and Railing is the number one in premium decking and the number one with pros. Order free samples and connect with contractors near you at TimberTech.com.
Get rid of nagging joint pain without drugs or surgery. Now there is a better way. All natural treatments. Call QC Kinetics 312-809-5955.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
That's not a promo. I don't know what is.
Big Play Palooza.
Every morning that Brad Biggs is on with Mully and Haw.
Is this Hall?
I make a point to listen. Today, I think it was today, there was a delay in connecting him by like 3 or 4 seconds.
What?
And when he finally said, "Morning, boys, what's going on?" You could tell he was annoyed. There was some annoyance there.
Morning, boys.
Yeah. So it started annoying,
Morning, gang. What's going on?
That's my favorite. He did that when Ruthie Polinsky was sitting in. Yes. Sweet ad lib.
It was. It was solid. That was a good audible.
Yeah.
By Biggs.
Yeah. So
morning, Dave. What's going on?
That's when Hawes solo.
Morning, Brad.
I didn't know Tanny's morning, collecting morning. These. This is exciting.
Morning.
I mean, the cyborg Brad is obviously everybody's
favorite. Oh, the cyborg.
I mean, how do you not? When the robots took over.
Yes. Yes.
And Brad was all alone in the digital underground.
Morning, boys.
Sounded a lot like that.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
I mean, that's astonishing.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
All right. I'm not making fun of you. You're not making fun of me.
Now we have to listen for unique ones and really build the collection. But anyway, this morning, Big Z and Dave... Dave, is that what you love when he calls him Dave, Tanny? Is that right?
I do. Yeah, I do. I love it. I love every segment he's on, but like, there's always that little extra wrinkle there.
Yeah.
And today, like, you always feel that it's there, but today you actually heard that there was a little bit of a tension there. It's good radio, though.
That was very good.
I thought it was very fun today when talking about the coaching changes that have happened up at Hallis Hall.
Hey, listen, they made improvements offensively last week, and it wasn't just... stuff where it's the eye test. Okay, like they made improvements
where you look at the eye test for a second.
No, don't cut me off. They scored 19 points, Dave, and we've had this celebration citywide. We've had a celebration citywide about their offense. They scored 19 points. That would have been good enough to win one football game last Sunday.
But you just talked about it. You answered a question about interim head coaches about how they aren't likely to do that. And then you told us they're going to score 13 points and they're staring at a 6-game losing streak. If you're in a 6-game losing streak and you're scoring 13 points at this stage of the season after firing your offensive coordinator, why wouldn't they fire their head coach before the season is up?
I didn't find Hightower impressive yesterday either. So, I mean, we're going to disagree on that too.
Okay. Add it to the list.
You're firing the coach to do what? Announce to the world you're going to have a new coach in 2025? It sure looks like that's going to happen. You're talking about promoting the guy who says, "Yeah, it's my fault. We didn't have the A gap tight." I just that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I'm not blaming Richard Hightower for the loss, but it just. Apparently, Dave woke up this morning wanting someone to lose their job.
That's not true. That's so not true. You're coming at me a lot harder than you're coming at anybody in the Bears coaching staff.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. I was in front of everyone on this Shane Waldron thing.
Okay. That's true.
I told you guys he could, couldn't command the room and that type of thing. And that's what Brown's been able to do. I think he's got buy-in from the players.
Right.
So we'll see.
Oh, man. Delightful.
My favorite part of that. There's a lot of favorite parts of it. But,
tell me.
But the way Biggs, he's like, while we're here, I didn't like your last question either. I didn't like the premise of Richard Hightower being good either. While we're here, by the way. I played nice with you a second ago. But by the way, I agree with Biggs on that. I did not find Hightower to do it. It's such a weird bar that we set at Hallis Hall. When somebody acts in an essentially competent way.
You're right. I wasn't hard enough on Richard Hightower yesterday.
Right. But I wasn't even hard on it, but just the idea that, oh my God, look at this guy. He gets up there and he's honest and stuff. I mean, he didn't do badly up there. I'm not ripping Richard Hightower, but the idea that he was the hero of the week, I thought was a bit much.
Before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in Sunday from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
That's a wrap.
Sunday night, if you are out and about or would like to be so, please come to Hey Nani in Arlington Heights to come see Sonic 45. I'll be singing with a band I dearly love. Original, original music.
Nice.
That'd be great fun.
Nice.
We love it over there.
I am going to be doing adult things. I am moving again. Back to the city, everybody.
Come on, baby.
So I'll be boxing things up.
You're coming. I hear you're coming to my neighborhood.
I'm coming to your neighborhood, baby.
That's outstanding.
I couldn't be away. I was away from Chicago for a year. I couldn't handle it. I'm back in the city.
Good. Careful, Mark. He will ignore you out on the street. Just ask our guy, Big Ant.
I know. I've heard the story, so I'm prepared to not have a good neighbor in Matt Spiegel.
Well,
I'm prepared.
Happy to step into that role as much as anybody can.
Yeah, that's you. That's you, man. That's you.
I know it. Mark Grody, great fun today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to our guest, Olin Kreutz, and Dan Witterer, and to Nick Swardson. My God, was that fun.
Great.
And to Chris Emma, who walked on down the hall. Thank you to Shane Reardon, who's terrific, of course, and is a wonderful boyfriend. Enjoy Wicked.
Oh, really?
In the
What's
first
going on with
row
you guys
on
here?
The side.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Magenta lover with speech.
I was going to say, it's been a long time since I've been in here.
He's attentive.
He lets me be the small spoon a lot more often than I'd like. thank you to Chris Tannehill, who I assume is also a terrific lover.
He's like, get out of here, guys.
I don't know that specifically.
Actually, I've heard the opposite.
Oh,
really?
It sounds believable. Zach Zaidman is next, and then Bulls basketball as they host the Atlanta Hawks.
Bulls.
Keep listening. Thank you for listening to us. See you Monday, right here on 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.